Hour two of Wildcat Insider, John Kurtz, Wyatt Thompson, Mitch Fortner with you. The breaking news of the day after K-State lost Skylar Thompson in a win 31-23 over Southern Illinois on Saturday. He does not have a season-ending injury. Positive news on the Big 12 coaches teleconference this morning from Chris Klieman. Here was the full quote on the status and health of one Skylar Thompson.
Skylar's going to be out indefinitely. We don't believe it to be a season-ending injury, which is I know I feared on Saturday, is that he would be lost for the season. We don't feel it to be that way, but it's going to be some time. I can't tell you how long, but he's going to be out indefinitely as we continue to get more information. And I know we had an MRI yesterday, and confirm some things that we'll keep in-house, but he'll be out indefinitely.
So we don't have any specifics. I imagine we probably won't get any public specifics on that front, especially considering the way that they handled it last year. There was not a whole lot. I mean, really, they never still publicly would say what his injury actually was last year. So I don't know that we'll find out much more than that, but you can at least take a breath, like a sigh of relief that it is not going to be a season-ending injury, because it looked bad, non-contact, the reaction of everybody looked bad, and certainly seemed to have everybody a little bit shell-shocked at Bill Snyder Family Stadium.
We talked last hour a little bit about the emotion of that moment, and it carried over into K-State's play, really, for the most part, for the rest of the half, and we're fortunate enough to be able to come from 23-21 down after being up 21-3 to find a way to win the game. So that's certainly quite positive on that front in a scenario where it was so much negative when Skylar went down. And I think you have to, you know, really look at that and finding a way to win the game first and foremost, because that's why we're there. Winning and losing is what it really is all about. And I think you saw a football team, I guess I'll say, overcome some pretty drastic diversity with the injury and the four turnovers, and you know, and it wasn't perfect in the second half either, but at the end of the day, you outscore them in the second half 10-0, and that's a pretty good offensive football team. So I think we'll see how they respond this week with Sky, you know, probably without a doubt being out. I'm assuming that he'll certainly miss this week, and who knows after that. Maybe multiple weeks, but that was a tough situation, and but they did find a way to get the victory, and that's what really counts.
Yeah, and I'm about to transition here into talking more about Will Howard and the quarterback, so I understand I'm literally doing what I'm about to kind of say shouldn't be done, but the defense is going to get overlooked here in a lot of the conversation this week because there is so much focus on the quarterback, but that, right. I guess I'll allow a quick word here on the defense. Look, Felix Anadike was the Big 12 newcomer of the week. He made some massive plays down the stretch, a couple of strip sacks in the fourth quarter of the game. The defense really did step up. I mean, they gave up some points, but it was when the barrage of turnovers were coming from the K-State offense there. I mean, I thought the defense legitimately played really well, in particular in the second half against what's a very, very good FCS offense.
Well, I think that is perfectly said, because when you think about the 23 points, you had a pick six in the game. With the fumble, you had a short field. So this is a team that I think, again, at their level, is as good as most offensively. I don't know what you thought of Nick Baker and some of their personnel, but I like their personnel. I like their schemes. I think they get you a little bit spread out and a little bit discombobulated. I'll be honest and tell you, I think their offensive and defensive fronts were better than I was expecting them to be, which kept them very much a part of the game, too, with all of the things that were going on. And I guess that's why I feel a little bit better about the defensive effort in particular in the second half, because, you know, I guess right or wrong, I kind of put the Stanford performance and that one together and think, you know what, this defense, which was the question mark going into the season, is, I think, pretty much easily said quite a bit better than it was a year ago, and that's a good thing.
Pretty convinced of that, yeah, after the first 2 weeks here. And again, bring back up that Stanford game. Stanford put 42 on USC on Saturday, and K-State nearly shut them out in week one. So That should also have you feeling a bit better about the defense. None of it is really going to matter if you can't get at least competent play from the quarterback position, and it was tough to watch a lot of what was happening with Will Howard for a good chunk of the game there. Chris Klieman, though, after the game was not one to mince words in reiterating his confidence in Will Howard. Whether you do or not as a fan, Chris Klieman certainly is going to stand by his guy right now.
He struggled a little bit, but some of it was credit to Southern Illinois, and they did some really good things. And then he made a big-time throw on the last drive to Phillip to keep it alive because we were starting to wear down on defense. And so the kid made a play. Will's a good football player. I've told you guys that. And I'm counting on him, if that's the case, to take the lion's share of the ones reps and have a great week and be ready to go.
How much confidence do you have in him going forward?
A lot. He'll be fine.
Says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're a fan out there that isn't buying that, the fact that the coach believes in him is pretty significant.
Well, there should have been no question about how Klieman would answer a question like that if you watched how he reacted when Skylar Thompson was down on
sure.
the field. Like, he loves his guys. He loves his players. To a fault or not, that's how he's going to be. He's going to defend his guys. He's going to talk his guys up. And I know a lot of people immediately brought back the comment from a week ago where he said Will might be the best backup quarterback in the country. And, you know, people, when they see a performance like that, they're going to go back and check the tape on that, so to speak. But I would just say, like, that's who Chris Klieman is. And you can agree or disagree with it. It's kind of the exact opposite philosophy that Bill Snyder had, where he would typically not go over the top in talking up his guys publicly and to the media. But that's what Klieman does. And, I mean, I don't know, watching Will Howard out there on Saturday, I would think that that's the best route to go. I don't think that Klieman standing up at the podium and saying, hey, our quarterback was incompetent, we have to get better quarterback play out of this guy or else. I don't know that that's the best way to get the best result out of the guy that we saw on Saturday, who to me seemed a bit rattled after the turnovers that happened, which most quarterbacks would be.
Yeah, well, you know what? He comes in, they finish off the drive, they're up 21-3, things seem to be going pretty well. What changed the game around? Turnovers. Got to take care of the ball, simply stated. And this week against Nevada, K-State will try to run the ball. That's pretty obvious. But at some level, they're going to have to be able to have a threat in the pass game, period, end of story. And if they do that, they've got a chance to win the game.
And it's such an underrated part of what Skylar brings to the table, typically, is that he's going to take care of the ball. Now, this year, he threw an interception early in the game, which, you know, he was behind. He was late on the throw. It was not a very good throw. He had the interception in the end zone against Stanford. So I understand that maybe rings more hollow in light of what we saw for the first game plus of this year. But typically, over the course of Skyler's career, and particularly over the course of his career under Chris Klieman, he'd been very good at taking care of the ball.
Yeah,
And that was a huge part of the value that he brought. Between his athleticism and his running ability and taking care of the ball and knowledge of the offense, you didn't need him to be, you know, one of these, like a Stephen Sheffield from Texas Tech back in the day, throwing for 700 yards. Like, you don't need that when you get the rest of that package out of Skylar. And you see what kind of a hit K-State takes without that.
Skylar's really been pretty good through his career. I agree with you with taking care of the ball. And you hope that that is something that Will picks up as he moves forward. I think you could certainly say to this point, you know, some roughly 10 games into his career, that it's been a little bit up and down, probably more down at times with the turnovers. But again, you got to be able to take care of it. I mean, you just do. And when those throws are open, you know, you have to have the confidence to cut it loose and let her go. And what happens, happens, right? I mean, it's easy for us to sit there in the chair and say that as opposed to, you know, being on the field and trying to do it like he's trying to do it. But it is so. You got to do it.
And if you were not with us in hour one, we played audio from Klieman on the teleconference where he reiterated Howard's going to be the number one guy in practice.
Yeah.
Jaren Lewis is number two. And beyond that, they need to figure out who they're going to pull up from the scout team to be the number three quarterback, which does not include Jake Rubley by name in that list. How far would you say Jaren Lewis is behind Will Howard at this point in the quarterback pecking order, just in your best estimation?
Yeah, I wouldn't say as far as some might think. I mentioned earlier in the show, too, that you know, this is Jaren's third year in the program. He knows this offense. Jaren's biggest issue right now is playing behind a couple of other guys and the fact that he has not played in a game. But he has had thousands of reps with this offense. I think he certainly has a pretty good feel for what he's doing. He can throw it. He is a good runner for his. I mean, he's got good skill set in running the ball. I don't think the coaches would be scared to put him in the game. Let's put it that way. If they needed him in there, in he goes. Feel better about that or no?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, we'll see what happens when they get out there on the field on Saturday, and hopefully Howard, with a week to digest himself being the starting quarterback and
sure.
Taking number one reps, all of those things, hopefully it does help. But look, clearly left a lot to be desired with how things went out on the field on Saturday. And it's going to be a tough game on Saturday. K-State is an underdog. The early lines have Nevada favored by 2 or 2.5, depending on where it is that you look. So we'll talk about the Wolfpack later on this hour a bit as well. But we have Gene Taylor coming up next, K-State's athletic director. We'll ask him about what is going on with the Big 12, if he sees more expansion on the horizon, and what he thought of the comments made by Travis Goff at Kansas coming up next. John Kurtz, Wyatt Thompson, Mitch Fortner with you. We're going to try this one more time with Gene Taylor, see if we got our phone line issues figured out. If not, we'll play you some of the audio from Gene on Saturday that we had previously recorded. So let's see here. Gene, are you able to hear us okay this time around?
Yeah, I can hear you. You guys sound a lot better this time.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, just starting with the game on Saturday, obviously there was a lot going on with you guys unveiling some of the new facilities. Skylar Thompson going down with an injury. Just how would you encapsulate what the emotions were like on Saturday?
Well, I mean, it started, obviously, kind of started Friday night. We had a big donor event Friday night. And a lot of excitement, not only about folks that got a chance to be in the Shamrock Zone for the first time, but then announcing the, facility project. And so there's a lot of excitement, almost 50,000 fans and playing pretty well. And then Skylar goes down and the air kind of got taken out. So, good news is, at least so far, the indications are it won't be season ending and have a chance to come back. But it was certainly a up and down emotional day, that's for sure.
For you guys to have $96.5 million raised as a part of the new athletic facilities that were announced, how can you put into context how impressive that is, considering all the circumstances with realignment coming out of a pandemic, et cetera, that are kind of surrounding that right now?
No, I think it's a great point. It is very impressive. It's sometimes, I'll say it's hard to believe because we've always had great donors that help us out. But I think the numbers were we had 2 8-figure gifts and 18 7-figure gifts in that process. And, there was $13.75 million from donors that had never given to capital projects. And so, like you said, all during the pandemic and, the uncertainty of the Big 12 kind of came late. We had gotten most of that raised, but, just again, it signifies to me the love and passion and the really generosity our donors have.
Gene Taylor is our guest. Gene, we talked about this a little bit earlier on the show, and you mentioned the donor event on Friday night and then the ribbon cutting on Saturday. And the new dollars raised from first-time givers, if you will. Tell us a little bit about that, what that means, because I think that's a great point that there are a lot of people that love K-State that are starting to get involved that haven't before, and that's monumentally important right now.
Well, I think a couple of things. Most of our projects, we had the basketball ice, or the ice basketball facility, focused on one sport. And then we had the West Stadium Center and the Veneer projects, focused primarily on football, and then obviously the South End Zone. But we coupled the South End Zone with the volleyball and Olympic Training Center. And a lot of, coming off the volleyball or the soccer and baseball facility, a lot of people saw that, they love football, but they want to help the other sports. And I think, with the volleyball venue and Olympic Training Center is where we got a lot of our support for some of our first-time donors because they saw us having an impact not just on football and men's and women's basketball. And I think that drew some. And then, you know, we were able to tell the story of how badly we needed those facilities. And I think people just wanted to help, and it's a testament. And, you know, sometimes capital projects people aren't excited about. They want to give to academics or scholarships, and that's fine too. But I think they felt like they were touching so many other athletes beyond just football and basketball.
Gene Taylor is talking with us. Well, Friday obviously was a big day as well for the league with adding four new schools to the conference. You know, I mean, it was crazy to reflect back on the fact that that announcement came 51 days after the initial announcement of Texas and not even an announcement, it was a report that Texas and Oklahoma were likely leaving the Big 12 for the SEC. How was it? Take us through how Bob Bowlesby and you guys as athletic directors were able to just get on the same page and make that happen in such a short period of time.
Well, we pretty much started making – well, we've been having weekly phone calls really through the pandemic, and we kept those going through the summer. When that announcement, or like you said, story came out, we eventually, you know, realized, okay, we need the eight of us to get on the phone with the conference commissioner, and then the president start doing the same thing. And so we just started, you know, talking about the what-ifs and the process and, you know, how do we go about it and, you know, how quickly can we move. And, you know, there was a lot of things we couldn't do, at least from the conference office. You know, Bob and his staff could not reach out to schools. They couldn't, you know, they were very limited in what they could do. But our phones were ringing as ADs from friends of ours that were in those leagues or, you know, people that knew those ADs. And so we started having those conversations. And ultimately, you know, last week before the game against Stanford, we were in Dallas Tuesday and Wednesday and spent two really good days talking about the pros and cons of a lot of schools, not just those four, and what would work and what wouldn't. And then we didn't walk out of there with a formal recommendation to Bob, but we all felt pretty good that if those four were interested, you know, and they, you know, reached out and said they want to be a member, then at that point Bob would turn it over to the presidents and they'd go from there. But it was a lot of conversation, but we got to work on it pretty quickly after Texas and Oklahoma. We realized they were announcing that they were leaving.
Do you anticipate now that at 12/14 that expansion will be done, and or when do you think those conversations would kick back up again?
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, obviously at this point we'll probably get back together as ADs and start talking about the logistics of, you know, the time frame. I'm sure, you know, as they're talking, some of the reports that three of the schools from the AC couldn't leave until 27 months. BYU could come in a little bit earlier. How would that work with Texas and Oklahoma? You know, we anticipate them to stay. Now, is there an opportunity to negotiate them out early? Who knows? Those are things above me and certainly the ADs. That's Bob and president's, Bob Bowlesby and the president's conversation. So all those conversations, I'm sure, will continue. And at some point, we'll get worked out. And then eventually, we'll work on, you know, the scheduling and the conference alignment, all those things will start have to be talked about pretty soon as well.
Visiting with Kansas State Athletic Director Gene Taylor, so many people have written about and were frankly surprised by Travis Goff's comments. Gene, the athletic director at the University of Kansas, just simply asked here, I guess, were you surprised at those particular comments?
Yeah, I was. I'm not sure. Yeah, I read the article and read it a couple times to make sure, you know, I tried to understand what he was saying there. And, you know, I just certainly don't agree with him on the financial thing. I think the financial thing was when we were only going to be eight. And
right.
That was, you know, something that Bob mentioned, that if we only stayed at eight, we could lose, you know, 50% of our TV revenue. I don't think that's going to be the case. We don't really know when it's going to be. But I don't think it'll be, you know, as dire as it was if we just stayed at eight. I think when you look at those markets and the number of people in those markets, I think, you know, whether we stay at where we are now, but I think we have a chance to be pretty close. But, you know, if you take it one way that he's just trying to make, you know, the University of Kansas as strong as they can be, that's great. I mean, we all need to be doing that. If he's saying that, oh, you know, we're still going to be looking at our conference affiliations, that's you know, if that's what he meant, then that's a little very, very surprising.
Gene Taylor is talking with us, the athletic director at K-State. Do you have concerns about whether or not you guys as a league, the Big 12, would still be a I guess whatever the definition of a power, I don't know if it'll be power five, just a power slash autonomous conference will be moving forward?
No, I don't. Not at all. As a matter of fact, I think with those schools and the success of those schools, I think three of them are in the top 25 or two of them for sure. And mm-hmm. But no, I think all those things, look, there's a couple of things. One, there's just perception, and those schools, I think, bring, you know, really good from a football perspective, which is where the Power Five designation comes from. Very, very good programs. The Autonomy Five is an NCAA designated voting thing. And that's based on a certain budget level that was passed several years ago. That may change for all of us. It may completely go away with this new constitutional revision discussion. But the Power Five is into the CFP, the college football playoff, procedures and policies that can't be changed until 2026. And so we are part of that. We'll always be part of that. And I think by 2026, we'll still be part of that if there is that such a designation like that.
Well, Gene, before I let you go, I asked this in part because I saw today, you know, I mean, the TV gets announced for Oklahoma State next week and just some fan frustration over being on ESPN Plus three consecutive weeks. And I think most were disappointed, too, in FS1 for week one, being that it was Stanford and in Arlington. Is there some frustration on the side of the athletic department on just what the TV has been so far for football this year?
Absolutely. I was really surprised that it was on ESPN Plus, the Oklahoma State game. You know, obviously the Southern Illinois game, we weren't surprised. Sometimes those first two non-conference games end up on the Plus. You know, we had been told by ESPN when we scheduled the game in Dallas that we were going to get an opportunity to be on, you know, one of the main networks, either Fox or ESPN. So that was frustrating. And then to see us again on ESPN Plus, you know, it is frustrating. You know, yes, more and more people can get it, and it's easier access, but there's just some things that they don't put an effort into. We can produce an ESPN Plus game better than ESPN can, in my opinion. But, so it's frustrating. We'll have the conversation at the conference level. And unfortunately, we knew there were going to be more games on Plus in both football for a lot of the programs, but for us to have it three in a row is frustrating, for sure.
Well, keep winning games, and I suppose that problem will in general take care of itself. That's the best we can say.
Win, baby. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. All right, Gene. Well, thanks for coming on as usual. Two, thanks for dealing with some of the technical issues that we had there, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, no problem. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, there's K-State AD Gene Taylor on with us here on Wildcat Insider. I promise, I've been saying it the whole show, we will get to some of your questions coming up next because there are a lot. People are talking about a lot of things right now, so we'll get to your Twitter questions next. All right, taking some of your Twitter questions, I have seen a couple here about Nevada. For instance, this one from KSU Railroader: how many points can the defense give up to Nevada and still come away with a W? You know more about Nevada than I do, Wyatt. I can tell you that Carson Strong is going to be a draft pick at quarterback that they have. Certainly, he's really good. Is it their top receiver or tight end? Their top pass catching option is likely going to be a draft pick as well, right? I mean, they have a good offense, and they're a team that's right next to K-State right now in the top 25 at like 33 and 34 and others receiving votes.
Well, here's one for you. You won't find this very often, but Nevada leads the country with three players on the Biletnikoff watch list, two receivers and a tight end. That doesn't happen very often. And a year ago, easily their top receiver was Romeo Dubs. The year before that, it was Elijah Cooks. Cooks missed all of last year. Sitting right in the middle is Cole Turner, who already has 12 catches in two games, and he is a 6'6", 240-pound tight end. The key to the thing is, from my perspective, yes, Carson Strong's good. He'll be a first-round pick more than likely. They do have receivers. I wonder how the offensive line for them matches up with K-State's defensive front, and how will that go if K-State can win that battle. I think you've got a pretty darn good game on your hands. There's very little separation with these two under normal circumstances. I think their defense is, I'll say, solid. I don't think they have one or two guys that just jump out of the page and you go, wow, those guys are good. But they're solid across the way. To answer the question about the points, I don't know, with just being blunt about this, with Will Howard getting the start at quarterback, that you want to get into the 30s with these guys. But they didn't get what in the 30s with Cal either. They were down 14-0 to start and won the game 22-17. I think if you keep it in the low 20s, why wouldn't you have a shot? I think you do.
Yeah. That's what I would say. I would have put the line of demarcation at 30 to say you're starting to play with fire.
I'd live with that.
If you're getting to 30.
Yeah.
I think Nevada, this game is very interesting to me because it was 6 months ago, this was a really tricky game. And now I feel like we may have overcorrected to the other side, where like a lot of the, even going into the season, I think a lot of people felt like this might be a tougher game than Stanford. And now, I mean, I don't know what to think about that based on what we've seen through the first 2 weeks from Stanford. But now it's like everybody, there's a heightened sense of attention being paid to Nevada. And on top of that, now K-State has the quarterback issue with Skyler going out. And so I don't think there's any reason for anybody to be overlooking Stanford in any fashion at all. And then here we are sitting on the eve of the game, and K-State is 33rd and others receiving votes. Nevada's 34th. They're right there. So it's just that the dynamic of the game is very interesting to me because I think it's gone from they can sneak up on you to now they're the favorites. I mean, Nevada is literally the Vegas favorite going into the game, so K-State probably has a chip on its shoulder almost going into this game.
Stanford in 1 week's time has gone from, oh my God, they're not even going to play 500 ball, to what are they now? I mean, what are they capable of in the Pac-12 now? Totally changed in a week.
I mean, it was like David Shaw was going to get fired, and then he got somebody else fired.
Yeah.
In the span of 2 weeks. Okay. Let's see. Bob asks, do you anticipate a much more thorough game plan designed for Will Howard specifically this Saturday, and was Saturday's performance more indicative of a lack of a tailored game plan for Will Howard?
It's a really, really good question. I think it will be pretty designed to Will's strengths. And I don't know if I could get into a whole lot more detail of how different that might look. I'll be blunt and tell you that I don't think it's as crazy different as you might think. But we'll see. I think the opponent dictates a lot of that. So we'll see how this plays out. Because I'm not a coach. I'm just the radio guy. But I do think, as I said before, Nevada's defense is solid. But where can K-State have an advantage? That's the thing I'm not totally sure of. That's why I want to hear what Coach Kleiman says tomorrow, because he may give us – he may not too. But I think over the course of the week, we'll have a much better idea of that. I hope that answers the question, at least a little.
Yeah, Jeff asks, where do the coaches feel Will Howard has progressed most in the passing game? And I'll just jump in and say this. One thing Will said after the game that I agree with him on is that the ball is coming out of his hand better.
It is definitely better.
And I think there's no doubt about that. I mean, I thought he was throwing bullets for the most part on Saturday. The accuracy was the problem and not anticipating. You know, there were a couple that probably could have or should have been intercepted that weren't, where he just won. It looked like he didn't see a dropping linebacker. Another one he's throwing like across to the opposite sideline that was dangerous. But
that's the experience part, John, to be honest with you. I do think he is still – the release part is better, no question. And I know we're trying to get a few more in here. But I do think the feat for him and getting that correct is big if he's going to improve with the accuracy.
Yeah.
That's a deal.
To me, it's – I mean, there were times last year it just felt like some of the balls were floating and they didn't have much zip to them. I think that part looks a lot better. I genuinely do. It's just, yes, confidence and experience. How does that translate? Let's see. John, is it better for the Big 12 to stay at 12 or bring in four more for 16 and use pods? I don't think the pods, I think you just figure that out, right? What we've seen is the general idea here and attitude has been, and Gene kind of just reiterated on that phone call, is take care of the big stuff and then figure out the little stuff later. Like, they haven't gone through divisions and all that. Bowlesby said it would probably be divisions, but they haven't ironed out those details because you needed to just take care of the big picture stuff first.
I can see going to 16, but I think you have to weigh out, if you're going from 12 to 16, who is it? And does it have that huge impact or a good quality impact like I believe that just happened with the current four?
You have to weigh, are you spreading yourself out too thin and then splitting the pie too many ways if you're going to go that? Like, how much are you actually adding value, or are you just adding to add, and what's the perfect number? I think that could
As an example, real fast, Boise State, Army. Does that float your boat?
Boise, I can get on board with Boise. I don't know about Army. I don't know. And I know that there's...
And I have no... That's no inside information at all. Just throwing them out.
Yeah,
I've heard those names.
I get the idea. You know, get the Armed Forces Network with one of those. The best question we got, just the last 5 seconds here, dedicated to a 33 KSU. Will Howard or won't Howard? Great question.